Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien answered my bat signal yesterday. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. I appreciate it. Reason I reached out to you was getting a lot of concern, and a lot of emails have come in and a lot of tweets about this tracing aspect of coronavirus victims, people that have contracted it. We learned last week that the governor signed an executive order that allows the Department of Health to share addresses of people that have coronavirus with first responders. My response to that was more along the lines of less about the privacy or the HIPAA violations or potential privacy violations, and more about the fact that this state just has an absolutely wretched history of protecting people's data. Every year, it seems, we get another story about a data breach at a particular department, or a state employee, a government employee, improperly accessing information about people just out of curiosity. We had that issue with the police department a while back that was looking up driver's license information for attractive female news anchors and things along those lines. So when you saw that story, when you saw that executive order come across, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I went back and looked at the, you know, the HIPAA rules as to what actually is allowed. And, you know, this is a good example of, you know, things being taken to the extreme. I mean, there is an exception in the HIPAA rules where a healthcare provider can share, you know, patient information as necessary to prevent or lessen a serious or imminent threat to the health and safety of the person or the public. But it talks about having the decision be with the healthcare provider. What the governor is doing with this executive order is essentially having the state compel healthcare providers to provide this data to the Department of Health, and then they're going to in turn share it with, I don't know who, law enforcement and other agencies, and basically track where somebody who has tested positive for the coronavirus is moving in the state, which is just Orwellian to me.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
Yeah, especially coming from when this is being initiated by a governor who wants to declare the state a sanctuary state for illegal immigrants. But we're going to track our own citizens who have something that's a little, that for most people, it's a little bit above the flu.
Well, and the problem that I have, and this kind of goes back to the rant I went on a moment ago, is that there doesn't seem to be any further use of just common sense. For example, giving law enforcement the information of individuals who've been infected so they can avoid them in going to their homes. Like, the likelihood of that happening is going to be really small. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we're essentially putting people's information out there and potentially jeopardizing the, you know, privacy concerns over something that more than likely won't happen. I mean, so basically you'd have to be infected with coronavirus, you'd have to be tested with coronavirus, and then you'd have to be home, and then that you would have to have a circumstance where you have to call an officer to your home for some reason. Like, the likelihood of that happening, wait, what, 0.1%, 0.2% of that actually happening. So to me, like, the effort doesn't seem to match the risk or be worth the risk of invading somebody's privacy concerns over having them being exposed and that being given out to authorities.
I agree with you, John. I think that's likely why the ACLU is challenging it, and that's likely their argument is the individual citizen's privacy rights outweigh whatever benefit the state thinks it's gaining from doing something like this.
Is there anything that an individual can or would you recommend they do if they find themselves, maybe they've been contracted with coronavirus, maybe they've come down with it, and they want to sort of proactively protect their own sort of health information? Is there any steps that they can take?
Well, hire an attorney. You can file for an injunction to stop the release of the information to other agencies. Put it in front of a judge to decide. That's probably the best option at this point.
And the other issue I wanted to get a quick chat with you on was we've also had calls and emails, a call yesterday specifically, of business owners that are looking to get some sort of business interruption coverage, and they're being denied in a lot of instances. I know that you you work with a lot of tap rooms, a lot of breweries. You're very active in the in that industry. Are you seeing cases like that pop up, and what's happening with you and your clients?
We absolutely are, Drew. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because so our firm, Chestnut Cambrone, has a class action practice group, and we started looking at this early on when my first client, that it was a bar chain that was denied their business interruption claim. So we started looking at possible angles, and there is a class action starting. There are certain insurance companies. I know for sure it's Society, Lloyd's, Liberty Mutual, Hartford. There might be others that after SARS, but a lot of insurance companies modified their policy language and excluded coverage for viruses or pandemics. These insurance companies did not. So if anybody's listening that wants to have their policy looked at or has been denied a claim, reach out to us. Because we've already got one client that we've already filed suit. There'll be others going. This is going to end up being a national class action against insurance companies, just like after 9/11. And the end game of this is likely going to be that Congress is going to have to create some sort of fund to pay out these claims. So they're getting questions. People that are filing claims are getting questions like any physical damage or any property damage. And that's what they're trying to key on, and that's not necessarily what the law says. So,
Jeff, you want to give out your contact? Go ahead and give out your contact info.
You can reach out to me at email is joBryan@cclawmn.com, or the phone number at my firm is 612-336-1298. Even though I'm working remotely, I am checking my voicemail at the office. You can call me there.
All right, I'm going to squeeze in a very quick call because this looks like it's relevant to you. Scott, you got 30 seconds with Jeff O'Brien. Go ahead, Scott.
I had a question on whether or not businesses might be able to sue the state for loss of income because of excessive restrictions, either as a class action type suit or individual suits filed in small claims court.
Jeff, go ahead.
It's a good question. We looked at that one as one of the options. There is no legal precedent for doing that. However, I do know I talked to my good friend, Representative Shane Meckland, Republican state rep, and I know that there is going to be a bill introduced, if it already hasn't been introduced, so that when in the future, if the governor ever declares a peacetime emergency and orders businesses to be shut down, that the bill would propose to treat it like an eminent domain case and require that the state pay the business owner just compensation.
I like
try
that.
To level the playing field, so you can't have this, where the small business owners aren't even on the governor's radar in terms of a concern right now.
I like that. Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for sharing a few minutes and your expertise this morning, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right, coming up.